Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Wednesday, one in which we are loaded live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Good stuff today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, I am going to go somewhere I have never gone in all my years of doing this that I recall today. I'm going out on a leverage-soaked limb.
Can I imagine this is going to be a little pro player, maybe? You know, but that's what we love about you, Colin. You're always changing. You're always
and
evolving.
We just found out a couple days ago, everybody loves us. Okay, I've said before, Uncle Colin is pro player mobility. But I don't love, if you sign a contract, you got to live by the contract. I've signed contracts in my life. I don't love them halfway through them. But, you know, I mean, mostly we got contracts, blah, blah, blah. But Deshaun Watson should hold out of Houston. Absolutely. I don't care what his contract is. Hold out. They lie to you. They're dysfunctional, and you've been hit so many times, they've probably taken a third of your career and thrown it into a dumpster in Houston. So Chris Sims played in the NFL, has inside information, and Deshaun Watson and his agent, according to Sims, have drawn a line in the sand.
I've gotten some good information over the weekend by somebody I really trust that's connected with the situation. There's no way Deshaun Watson will play for the Houston Texans again. He will not do that. He is willing to sit out the year from what I've been told in this situation.
And he should. Let's think about this. From Deshaun Watson's perspective, top 5-6 quarterback in the league, he won't get less talented if he sits out. He won't get hurt if he sits out. He won't forget to play quarterback if he sits out. And he won't lose any market value if he sits out. Now let's go to the Houston Texans if he sits out. They'll be unwatchable. Their merchandise sales will absolutely plummet. Fourth place is guaranteed. The owner's franchise, frankly, probably loses value. And it won't be nearly as attractive a place for free agents to go. Who wants to go to an 0-16 or 1-15 team? Lots of teams and lots of general managers are going to want Deshaun Watson. Nobody wanted the Houston Texans job. Nobody. That's why they hired a 65-year-old coordinator or a 65-year-old coach who'd never been a coordinator. Nobody wanted the job. Deshaun Watson's played 4 years, probably has 5 to 6 peak years left. It's becoming very much an Andrew Luck situation. They took years off his career. He got hit too much. And I want you to think about this as well. Because I believe if Deshaun Watson sits out, they're going to have the worst coach and the worst quarterback situation in the league. So in the division, David Culley, the coach, is going to face Urban Meyer twice, Frank Reich twice, and Mike Vrabel twice. That's 6 games guaranteed he's outcoached. Houston also has the misfortune this year of facing the NFC West. So he'll face Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan, and Sean McVay, outcoached. They also have to face the AFC East, Sean McDermott, Brian Flores, and Bill Belichick, outcoached. Throw in Kevin Stefanski for Cleveland. Excellent young coach. So I'm just saying minimum. I don't know if Robert Saleh can coach yet. I don't know. I don't know about Brandon Staley with the Chargers. They face them. I have no idea. I don't know what we call Cliff Kingsbury yet. I think he's got a year left. But minimum 13 of 16 games, Houston will be outcoached. And if Deshaun sits out, in 16 games, they'll be out quarterbacked. Why should Deshaun Watson go into a gunfight with a straw? Why? He's not going to forget how to play football. He's not going to get hurt sitting out. He's not going to lose his market value. He's not going to... Why? Why in the world would you play? I'm not saying every time an individual has leverage over a corporation, they have to extract it. I mean, if you think your corporation's well run, you like the people, you feel you get support, you don't need to pinch every penny. You don't need to extract every inch of leverage. But if your corporation can't get it right, gave you a bad programmer, your content suffers, you don't have the protection, you don't have the support, tell me who's got leverage here. Deshaun Watson's got all the leverage in the world. What about a contract? What about it? I don't see him as a flashy guy who spends all his money. That doesn't appear to be his personality. I mean, everybody that talks about him is like, great dude, community, family, not some crazy guy out there. He's got all the leverage. And I'm not a guy that does this. I'm not a guy that, you know, I don't believe when you have a contract, you should be this obstinate. But in this instance, look at the coaches they face this year. So Deshaun Watson's going into a gunfight with a spoon. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I don't buy for a second that Houston won't take a phone call. I don't buy that for a second. There's always a deal to be made. Houston's going to lose market value, their merchandise sales, their ticket sales, fourth place. It's a disaster move. Get on the phone with Gruden, Belichick, Jets, get it done. All right, so this is kind of crazy. Tom Brady must have an amazing marriage. I mean, you know, I have no reason to think it wouldn't be amazing. But this is a topper. So Tom Brady was asked about his preparation for the Super Bowl and his sort of focus. And he let this one out.
I think the football preparation has been easier. There's definitely, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, actually my family's been out of town for the last 6 days. They're not coming back in town until Saturday. So I really had an empty house for, will be 12 days leading up to the game. That's the most prep I've ever had. Could really focus on what I need to do from a football standpoint, have time to get my body right.
Tom Brady has a 22,000 square foot house with 7 to 8 bedrooms. He needed to be by himself. Honey, we'll be over in the right wing. No, I need more focus. Honey, we won't bother you at all. Folks, I've lived in a house that's 4,000 square feet. It's a nice house. This one's almost 6 times the size. So you could have parked my house in the garage of Tom Brady's house. And it wasn't enough. It's not enough space, honey. I don't have enough space. I need to be more alone and quieter in the house. This is an amazing marriage. If I suggested I needed 90 minutes of quiet to get a podcast done, I may get kicked out of the house. But now this sounds crazy, right? You're like, this guy's crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, it's Brady's the guy. LeBron's got this. He's always getting the edge. He's got the studio at home. He's got the fitness thing at home. He's got the Alex Guerrero. He's got his house to himself. I'm thinking, he's going to find one more edge as he gets older. As he gets older, he keeps finding an edge, an edge, an edge, an edge, an edge. And I thought to myself, would he really make the ultimate commitment? I'm not going to speak for women. I'll speak for men. Money matters. We often frame ourselves through that prism of money and success and professional greatness. You think this is crazy? And Tom's gotten every edge. He won't drink a beer in the season. Family has to leave for 12 days. What's the one edge teams have in the NFL that you only get it for about 4 years? Is when you draft a quarterback and he's on the rookie deal. Baker Mayfield. It's like an all-star team in Cleveland. I mean, literally, they have 2 great tight ends and 2 great receivers and 2 great running backs. You can only do that when a quarterback is on a rookie deal. That's how a Goff gets to the Super Bowl. Before they pay him, Russell Wilson, before they pay him. Remember the Seahawks brought on Cliff Avril and Percy Harvin and just like, just be good. It's almost like situational players. Like just Percy Harvin played like in the Super Bowl. It was okay. They weren't paying Russell anything. Would Tom Brady, whose net worth, I looked it up, is $200 to $250 million. Giselle, his wife, has a net worth of $400, $450 million. What if Tom Brady said, I want to be in a perpetual rookie quarterback contract. Don't pay me. How does it matter? Well, Jason Light's already an excellent drafter. I mean, if you go look at Tampa's history last 4 or 5 years, they draft really well. But it would give Tom the free agent edge over Rodgers and Russell Wilson and a Matt Stafford in L.A. It would give Brady the free agent edge. You're paying Aaron Rodgers 35. You're paying Russell Wilson 35. In a year, you're going to be paying Patrick Mahomes 29. Brady makes four and just says, this is what Tom does. I mean, doesn't it sound ridiculous? 8 bedrooms, 22,000 square feet. They left for 12 days. Is that any more ridiculous than just put me on a perpetual rookie quarterback contract? We have talent. My general manager's a great drafter of talent. Now we can cherry pick 3 free agents a year. The dude is like next level commitment. That would be, and he's taken pay cuts. So it's not like he hasn't considered this. When he was the best quarterback in his prime, he took pay cuts. Just something to think about. You think it's crazy what I'm suggesting? I'm saying 12,000 square feet, I need more silence, is even crazier. That's a heck of a marriage. Coming up next, you know, a lot of times, thankfully I have the support of Joy Taylor, a shoulder to cry on. I am often mocked and poked by my critics. And a couple of days ago, I merely suggested the Raiders could probably favor to get Deshaun. And you were mean to me. I appear to be right. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So nice to be in here today. Well, the other day I just suggested something. I thought it was reasonable. I said, Deshaun Watson, who could go after him? Because Deshaun Watson has like veto power. And I said, well, John Gruden, outside of Belichick, may have the most power in the NFL. He's got like 7 years remaining on his contract, 7 or 8. He's got more power than his GM. I think he kind of handpicked him. And the owner, Mark Davis, worships Gruden. So you can make a deal for Deshaun Watson, but you got to have a coach. This is why the Rams could get Matt Stafford, because the owner believes in Sean McVay. So Gruden's got a ton of power. So that's the first thing I looked at, is what coach has the power to pull it off? Belichick or Gruden could give up. You know, they would just bulldoze their GM. Most, even Andy Reid wouldn't bulldoze Brett Veach. Brett's too respected. And Andy's got power, but he wouldn't do that. But Belichick wouldn't, Gruden would. When I suggested that, you know, Raider Nation went haywire. So I have been told 3 things. This is what I have been told by people close to Gruden. He would move off Derek Carr. He likes him, but he'd move off him. 2, Gruden is concerned that with Mahomes and Justin Herbert in his division 4 times a year, he feels like he has a significantly less talented quarterback. He wants to go to a star. And 3rd, he's got the power to do it. So I believe, and we're just going to put, I'm not going to talk about all the quarterbacks. Let's just talk about the, you know, the good ones. There's basically 2 groups of quarterbacks in the NFL. I would call the first the no argument group. They're great. You sound like an idiot arguing they're not. There's not many of them. There's 6. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. Stop talking. They're great. Some are playmakers. Some are big. Some are fast. Some are strong. Some, like Brady, just elevate everybody. Nobody's arguing. This is the no argument class. They're different. They play different. They look different. They throw different. They may run different. Then there's the guys that are really good. I mean, they start in the NFL. They're good. But we argue about them all the time. And there's about 8 or 9 of these guys. Lamar, we don't love the way he throws. Dak, we just like everything but the throwing part. Kirk Cousins shrinks, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, Justin Herbert, and Jared Goff. Now, I'm not going to count Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield yet. You might, but just give me seven more games with each. Let me see Baker after success if he or he puts weight on again. And Kyler is getting better, but let's see about seven, eight games. I think Burrow will be in this very quick. So we've got two food groups here. The six, no argument. The nine, we argue about how good they are. So let me ask you, if you want to get a no argument guy from an argument guy, what's it worth? Well, in negotiations, the key is, what do I need? What void do you fill? So the Houston Texans need a better infrastructure, and they need a happy quarterback. So they get Derek Carr and, let's say, three number one picks and a player. So I got a happy quarterback, I get a good player, and great draft picks. I don't have any. I need them. What the Raiders need is a superstar that can go toe-to-toe with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, and they feel like our guy's as good as their guy. It serves both needs. It's not outrageous. It actually makes a ton of sense. And there are stories out today. The Raiders, Derek Carr, Deshaun Watson, several NFL insiders expect the Raiders to take calls. They may need a third team. They believe that Derek Carr is worth two first-round picks. I do, too, if they're middle first-round to later first-round. I'm not giving up the second pick and the second pick back-to-back. Here's for him, but I'd give up the 17th and the 21st for him. But it's just not that unrealistic. There's only two real groups of quarterbacks, the good quarterbacks in this league. The six guys we just don't argue, you sound like an idiot. And then the others that you can have real arguments. Who's better, Stafford, Matt Ryan, Dak? You can have real arguments about this stuff. And the question becomes, the Raiders need a star, they believe. The Texans need a happy quarterback and an infrastructure realignment, and it serves both. I don't think it's nuts. I mean, the Raiders lost 4-1 possession games last year and went 8-8. They're close. Deshaun gets them to 11-5. And by the way, the Houston Texans with Deshaun went 4-12. So how much you need infrastructure. Texans are better with Derek Carr over the next 3 years and three or four first-round picks and a starter. They were 4-12 last year with him. With him, Deshaun Watson. I think it works. I think the Raiders, what Gruden, the power he's got, the want, the understanding of his division, I think that one fits. Enjoy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Can you imagine that division?
My God.
Justin Herbert, Mahomes, and Watson.
Well, think about the coaching division. The NFC West, Pete Carroll, McVay, Kyle Shanahan. AFC East, Belichick, Sean McDermott, Flores. You're getting like these all-star coaching and all-star quarterback positions. It shows you coaching's getting better and quarterbacking's getting better.
Look at the AFC North. That's why they have three teams in the playoffs.
Lamar, Baker, Burrow, Ben. Ben's now the
coaching.
Worst.
Tomlin, Harbaugh, Stefanski.
Pretty good.
Yep. So Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo has been successful in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady before. He was the DC for the Giants when they beat the undefeated Patriots in the 2007 season. I've never rooted harder for a team
I
didn't care about
one
than
of
the Giants.
Worst Super Bowls I've ever seen.
It was amazing.
Brutal.
Listen, Colin, it's just 72 seasons all the Dolphins have right now. We're starting to pick up some momentum.
Yeah, all Miami has beyond the weather.
The Dolphins. But Spagnuolo knows Brady is going to be ready to face the Chiefs and anything they throw at him.
He's a step ahead of everything. I mean, every film clip that you put on, you know, he's putting their guys in the right defense. That's always the challenge when you go against what I call a cerebral quarterback, and we know Tom is like that. He has total control. He gets them out there in time to change things. We're going to have to be really good on the back end not to show him things, or as we say, don't let him read our mail, because if he can read our mail, he knows exactly what to do.
He's 2-3, Brady is, in his career, including the playoffs against Spagnuolo as a DC, including 0-2 with four touchdowns and three interceptions against Spags.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you got to give Spags credit. In the playoffs so far, Kansas City's secondary has been great. Honey Badger just cinches that all up. They've been really good.
The Chiefs' defense this postseason is fourth in points allowed, fifth in yards allowed per game, and they've had five sacks and two interceptions. Here's what's interesting about this scenario with them. Obviously, Spagnuolo does have a lot of experience against Brady in the postseason, which is important. Now, Pro Football Focus has ranked the Bucs' offensive line fifth in 2020. Like, they have a good offensive line. Brady does not like to get touched. We know that. That's always been the case. It's nothing new, not in his old age. It's not a thing. When he's under pressure, including the postseason, 36.9 completion percentage, 5.1 yards per attempt, two touchdowns, four interceptions, and a 44.6 passer rating.
Yeah.
So if they can get some pressure on him, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, Tom was never as good with pressure. Nobody is. But as he's aged and wants to get hit less, I actually think, you know, we said this before the season. Does everybody understand how great of a pick and how great of an acquisition Tristan Wirfs was for the Bucs at right tackle? There was like five tackles everybody liked. He was more of the brute strength tackle, not the most elegant. He's a Pro Bowler at right. You can argue he's the first or second best right tackle in football. If he doesn't work, they got a tackle issue because they did lose their left tackle for a while. So the reality for him, the interior of the Bucs O-line's been good. They're like ornery, really good. This rookie right tackle has really, he's got a little bit of a wall now. So the good news for Tom is as Wirfs has gotten better over October to November, December, January. So Wirfs now is an elite right tackle.
Well, as we know, Tom is doing a lot of film study with his giant empty house. So to Spag's point, he knows where everything's going. So you just have to be better that day. So after five seasons with the Rams, Jared Goff is now a member of the Detroit Lions. And while he's disappointed about his time in L.A. and ending, he does think it's a good move for him. He said, as the quarterback, as the guy that's at arguably the most important position on the field, if you're in a place that you're not wanted and they want to move on from you, the feeling's mutual. You don't want to be in the wrong place. It became increasingly clear that was the case. The trade is something I'm hopeful is going to be so good for my career. It's always it's bittersweet leaving anywhere for any reason, right? Like, endings can be difficult. How you transition from one thing to the next, different people handle it differently. Like, someone like you and I who's moved around a lot, I don't get super attached to like places and things because it's like I'm used to change and I'm comfortable with that.
Right.
But in trades, sometimes we look at them like, okay, one person's being traded because they're bad or they're not playing well or like, and sometimes superstars get traded. So every situation is different. It really feels like the more that we're learning about the situation, and this has been the book on the Rams for a while now because they're very almost Patriot-like. Like, they're a pizzazz and aggressive and trades and signings and throwing money everywhere, but they don't let stuff get out.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing with the Todd Gurley situation was very, like, nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Is he injured? Is he not injured? What's going on? And similarly with Goff, like, he was benched, but we thought it was an injury until Wolford got injured, and then we're like, how is Goff available? Why is Wolford out there if Goff is available?
I will tell you this. I have been in correspondence with somebody inside the Rams organization. They don't like Goff being beat up. I was told last night, great kid. We made a decision as an organization. They don't like the Goff can't play narrative. In fact, what the Rams are telling me is, if Goff didn't have talent, you couldn't pull this off. He never gets hurt.
Right.
He's a great kid. He lost confidence. But the Rams want it to be known, this deal only gets made if you have something of value. That you don't get Matt. By the way, the Colts wanted him. The Patriots wanted Stafford. The Niners wanted Stafford. Why did the Rams get him? Because Goff is viewed as a former number one, really good judgment, really good kid.
He's just in a Super Bowl.
Doesn't get hurt outside of his thumb, never gets hurt. So I will say this. The Rams are not comfortable with everybody banging on Goff, although their coach got tired of him. But in the end, they want it known that there's a reason we could make the deal, and the Niners wanted him and couldn't because we had Goff.
This doesn't feel like a messy situation outside of the whole, like, McVay was out on him thing.
Yeah, publicly for about 3 weeks.
Right.
Bad, yeah.
So Jimmy Garoppolo's time in San Francisco could be over soon. The 49ers have reportedly been looking for an upgrade at the quarterback position for next year, but George Kittle still has all the confidence in the world in Jimmy G.
I still believe in Jimmy G. I think he's an incredible quarterback. I think he can lead us to another Super Bowl. I think we can win a Super Bowl with him. And I can't even talk enough about his leadership skills on and off the field. So I feel like I've answered this question about 200 times now since I last talked to you guys after last Super Bowl. But, you know, I'll keep dying on the sword because I think Jimmy G's a fantastic quarterback.
So he's not bad. He's just always injured.
Okay, that's right. So the Niners and the Rams both wanted Stafford. Why did the Rams get him? Because Goff is viewed as a better prospect than Garoppolo inside NFL circles and by Detroit. And, oh, by the way, to your point, I looked this up this morning. Look at it, listen to this. It kind of blew me away. Remember the Garoppolo-Kirk Cousins rumors?
Right.
And we were like, what? Talked to somebody last night. I said, explain it to me. Because I on the show yesterday, I'm like, I'm totally confused. So I texted somebody last night. I said, explain why Kirk Cousins and Garoppolo would be swapped. And this very smart executive said, if you take out a week 17 game for the Vikings in which Kirk Cousins was pulled because the Vikings were already in the playoffs.
Right.
Never missed a start. Garoppolo, 4 years, has missed 23.
Yeah.
And he said, Kyle Shanahan may not like Cousins significantly more than Garoppolo, but he's tired of going to his third quarterback.
That's very understandable. I think that availability is a skill. Now, look, nobody wants to be injured, and sometimes you just get bad luck and you're just injury prone. Other times it's you don't take care of your body. Who knows what it is with Jimmy G? But after a while, once this is the thing, it's the thing. Like, he's missed 23 games to injuries. That's insane. Like, 23 games if he played 15 years? Like, that's a lot of games to miss. And to your point, they are tired of constantly replacing him, and they're in a Super Bowl window right
now.
They have the pieces they need to get back to the Super Bowl. They need him available.
That's what I asked. I said, I could argue Garoppolo's more talented. And the person said to me, he said, maybe. How many times you want to go to Nick Mullins?
Yeah, he's going to be more talented, but he's on the sideline. That doesn't help.
Every other weekend.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I want to show you this. I'm not going to claim this is plagiarism, but I thought this was rather interesting. So yesterday on the show, we said it's interesting when you look. I often do this. I'll take a yellow notepad and I'll write down 10 best players in the game. And that'll tell me, like, who's got the best players. So I wrote down my 10 best players, and it was a lot of Chiefs, especially at the top. Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Honey Badger, Chris Jones. But then I said it's the Super Bowl. Situational football is going to mean a lot. Let's go to 15. And 9 of the 15 best players were Tampa players. So Kansas City had better high-end talent. Tampa's got more good players. Well, Pro Football Focus, we like to call ours Herd Football Focus. That was ours. So Pro Football Focus came out yesterday. So this is mine. 9 of 15. So what we said, a lot of Chiefs early, almost all Buccaneers. In fact, from 8 to 15, all Buccaneers on our list except one. Well, Pro Football Focus came out and did the same thing. And it was surprising how similar it was.
Top 5 the same?
Our top 5 is the same. They did the exact same thing. So 6 through 15, all Buccaneers except Honey Badger. Now, Mahomes, 1, Travis Kelce, 3, Tyreek Hill, 4, Chris Jones, 5. So what does that tell you? It tells you if the Buccaneers can take away the explosion play, Tampa has more players to grind for 4 hours. They got more good players. Now, sensational players, Kansas City has more. And remember, even knowing that, it should be noted that in the first quarter, when these two teams did meet, they couldn't stop Tyreek Hill. It was 17-0 Chiefs after a quarter. The score is misleading. It was 27-24 Chiefs, but it was 17-0 in about 5 minutes. It felt like the game was over. But both Pro Football Focus and the Herd Football Focus, a new company I just formed 5 minutes ago, it was the exact same. You know, they use data, we use gut, instinct. But it comes down to the same thing. Top 5 players, they got most of them.
We use Manalytics.
Yeah, Manalytics. After about 6, It's all Bucks. Bucks have the deeper roster. So that tells you, you can double bracket Tyreek, keep him out, just take away. He had 270 yards against the Bucks secondary. That's the issue. You know, so the game comes down. Can Tampa ugly it up a little? Just, we got more good players than they do. We just got no huge Mahomes over-the-top touchdowns. We just can't give those up. We did the first time. We got blitzed. All right, Willie McGinnis, who I think has, I could be wrong on this, he may have the most sacks. Didn't he have the most sacks in NFL playoff history? He does, 16. In the history of NFL playoffs, he's got the most sacks. Willie McGinnis, three-time Super Bowl champ with the Patriots, joining us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
New tracks, new teams, and a new champ. The 2021 NASCAR season starts in just 2 weeks with the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, February 14th, only on Fox.
Willie McGinnis has the most sacks in a single playoff game in the history of the NFL. He had 4.5 in one. That's a lot of sacks. He had 16 career playoff sacks. That's even more than LT. So you're talking about an all-timer, Willie McGinnis, the former USC Trojan. 3 rings, 15 years, multiple Pro Bowls, is joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, I was talking to somebody the other day about Super Bowl weeks, and you just sit in your hotel room, and you kind of wait for the game, and you get bored. What do you do? Because last week, the teams put in all their stuff. Just tell me, what is, for a defensive player? You don't even have the playbook a quarterback has to deal with. I mean, do you get bored? What are you doing, sitting around all week this next 5 or 6 days?
Well, no. If you're going against an offense like the Kansas City Chiefs or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're not bored because there's so many things to stop. And when you got great minds at the coordinating positions or the head coaches who are play callers like Andy Reid and Bieniemy and Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, you got to know in 2 weeks, they're going to devise something you haven't seen. They're going to give you some type of personnel group or formations you haven't seen that you're going to have to stop. That's buried somewhere deep in their playbook. They're going to pull all those things out. So as a defensive player, when we played against the Rams, for instance, the greatest show on turf, the one thing that we tried to do was limit the things that they do, turn it into a different football game, make it more physical, take away all those fancy toys that they were going to use in explosive plays and turn it into a different game. But the onus on a defensive, whether it's a defensive coordinator or a captain or players, is you don't want to forget or leave any rock unturned, because one mistake defensively with that type of personnel can turn into a touchdown or a big play. So it's repetitive, going over everything, trying to figure out what they may do off of certain things. They may change the different personnels, how they're going to use the different guys. It's just something you got to continuously do, and it never gets bored. Trust me, because when you make that mistake in a big game like that, everybody sees it.
You know, it's really interesting. You just said something really interesting. You said when you played the St. Louis Rams, you wanted to make it physical. You wanted to change the way the game was. Well, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
When I watched the first quarter last week of the Buccaneers and the Packers, one of the things that jumped out to me was the audio of the game. The hitting by Tampa was a little late and really ornery. And I'm like, oh, Tampa's trying to intimidate Green Bay.
Yes.
That's very, by the way, Green Bay's got all the toys, Kansas City. It is funny when I look at that, Todd Bowles is super aggressive. I mean, Vita Vea, JPP, Shaq Barrett, Levante David, these are like nasty guys. They're like physical guys. Yes. So what you're saying is probably same thing. Tampa wants this to be a street fight. They want it to be the octagon. They just want to get, they may hit late. That's what they do.
Well, I don't know about hit late, but you want to be physical and hit early and often. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, Colin and Joy, who comes up to the line and aggressively jams their receivers? Nobody. Who jams Kelce? Nobody, because they don't want to get beat off the ball and they don't want their receivers to run by people. But if you devise a plan where you can slow them down and Mahomes can't deliver the ball when he wants to get the ball out of his hands and you throw the timing off, then that allows your front four or five, which the Bucs have been getting pressure with, four guys or five, they've been getting to the quarterback. It allows them to get to the quarterback. And teams don't understand that. That's why Bill Belichick and Parcells and some of these other great defensive minds, you know, are so good because they understand in order to get rushed, you don't always have to come up with some crazy blitz or come up with these type of different schemes. You got to allow the quarterback to not have his first options and pull the ball down. That will give the front four or front seven time to get there. And teams are so nervous about getting ran by Robinson and Tariq Hill and Watkins and all these fast guys that they have, they don't even give it a chance. So then they're at the offensive mercy of trying to figure out what else to do and jumping in the zone, jumping in man and being one-dimensional, and it never works against those type of teams.
So you were in multiple Super Bowls with Brady and Belichick. Does it feel different? Are there more plays? Is it more intense? Is it – what is a Super Bowl? Does it feel different being in a Super Bowl? Now, I know Belichick's not coaching now, but when you're right in with Brady, and Brady takes a lot of the Bill Belichick stuff over, that intensity and that details. So now you're going to have Brady, which you've been in Super Bowls with him, and he dictates practice and dictates tempo and terms. Is it different?
It's intense. Hell yeah. It's intense and it's different because the mindset is – every play counts. Every play means something. And you don't keep looking back, but how you approach the football game, how you prepare, the momentum swings that you face in the game, the in-game adjustments and halftime adjustments, all that stuff is critical. So, yes, it's intense. And you got to have the right mindset going in. You can't be wiltered by one play or one thing that happens. You got to be physically and mentally tough in every situation. And to know is to experience. So a lot of those guys who have never experienced that type of environment and the intensity and the things that go on, sometimes they can be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But the guys that have, they have that mindset, so they don't wilter when those certain situations happen.
Yeah, Brady's got a huge experience advantage. He has been there, and he is, you know, you can just see he is clearly, obviously, kind of taken the baton from Bruce Arians. This is kind of Tom's team now. It almost feels like Tom's team and Todd Bowles' team, to be honest with you. Bowles super aggressive. I want to throw this out there. I'm generally not a big fan of holdouts, but in Deshaun Watson's case, yep, I'm totally supportive. I think it's a mess. It almost feels like a cult. When you look at the Deshaun Watson situation, do you back up him holding out? Where do you land on that?
I think it's a tough situation because Deshaun Watson has done everything right in his career on and off the field. And for him to be this disturbed about a situation and somebody and not to have input on the next head coach, which usually makes a big difference with your franchise guy who you're paying a lot of money, who you've pretty much – created and put personnel and everybody around to have success. It is to me a little disturbing. Now, Nick Caserio, who came over from the Patriots, he wasn't involved in all the melee that happened prior to, but he has been in some of these difficult situations with players and staff and different things to understand how to pretty much go in the inner workings of that and try to figure things out, have conversations, bring guys together, put people in place. That's why he's there. I would say to ownership that you have to listen to your players. If there are a group of players, important, impactful players, the best players on your team speaking out, don't ignore what they're talking about. Sit down, listen to what they're saying, and see how that affects your team. If the players are not buying in, it doesn't matter who you bring in as a coach, who you bring in as a GM, who you bring in wherever, you will not win football games if the players don't buy in. Yeah. So everybody on every level, they have to be on the same page. Deshaun Watson is not only standing for what he believes in and holding out, but he's standing for all the other players that don't have the status or the voice to do and say what he's saying. So it's not just him. Understand that. That is very important. He is representing a lot of players on the Houston Texans who firmly believe exactly what he believes. But because he has the power and the voice, he is the one taking the onus of holding out and putting it out there.
Yeah, well said. Good stuff. Willie McGinnis, 3 rings. Join him on the NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, @Willie McGinnis, a proud USC Trojan. Good talking to you, buddy. Love having you on. Thanks, Willie.
Always. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Made some really good points today. Yeah, he's speaking for the players. Listen, I'm not a holdout guy. I think you sign a contract, but I also know contracts get broken all the time. They get broken all the time. So, and if somebody behaves badly, break the contract. You can own a team forever, and you can run a team forever, and you can coach a team forever. You can't play forever. I think players show incredible emotional discipline. I would be a nightmare if this career was 8 years, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm run by a cult. You gotta be kidding me. These players are great. I'd be throwing sandwiches at people. I would be just not Jersey Mike subs. Those are too good to throw away. Hour two, Nick Wright, Steve Smith, The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.